Good morning. We're going to talk today about confidence, a great thing. Now, not being a con man, that's where the term con man comes from, confidence man, somebody that gets your confidence and then steals a lot of stuff from you. And we're used to being around people that are confident, and some people who are very confident are just braggarts, and they have no basis for their confidence. They're just sort of cocky and self-confident, but there's really nothing behind it. Whereas our confidence is based on God's ability to provide for us. So it's a real, real confidence. It's not a fake one. Yet, we can easily get talked out of it. And that's why we need to read the scriptures about staying confident, because we need to continue to be confident in God because of what He has promised and what He does, no matter what things look like around us. So very important. So let's start in Psalm 27. Here we go. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, with God being there, our light, our confidence, a strength of our life, there's absolutely nothing to be scared of. You know, it'd be like me saying, I have a whole kitchen full of food, which is often the case here at the Dundons. So why should I be hungry? Or I have a gazillion dollars in the bank. Why should I be broke? Well, how about this? God is our strength and our salvation. So what should we be scared of? Not a thing. When the wicked, verse 2, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host, a whole army, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be what? Confident. This is what I'll be confident in, that God will be there to be the strength of my life, to be my light and my salvation. And if somebody tries to attack me, they'll just stumble and fall. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So God said, seek me. And he said, okay, I'll seek you. I guess that's even better than one of those Easter egg hunts. You'd say to the kids, go find the Easter eggs. And they go, okay. Well, in a lot of ways, life is like a grand Easter egg hunt. Because God's always saying, come on, ask what you want, and I'll take care of you. And then we ask, and bingo bango, there he is taking care of us. What a great thing. Psalm 118. All about confidence. We should be very, very confident because of God. You see, and as people, sometimes our confidence varies, because one day we're doing really great and we're all confident, then one little circumstance changes. We get all nervous and we're not confident anymore. Whereas if we put our confidence in God, that's steady. That doesn't change. So we can always have that confidence. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel now say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let them that fear, reverence the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Now look at this. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I mean, princes are the big shots. And a lot of people think they got to get on the right side of whatever the big shot is, whether it's in a company or in the government or in a social circle. If they keep the big shots happy, then they'll be good. And sometimes you got to do that in life. But it says it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. People you have to work with. But our confidence should be in the Lord. He's the one that will never let us down. The more we can get it through our often thick skulls that the number one thing we want to do is have our confidence in the Lord, the smoother our lives will be. Because God, you can always trust. Circumstances, you deal with the best you can. But your confidence ought to be in God. Because that's the one thing that's never going to let you down. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. What you can gain from wisdom is better than silver, what you can get with silver and gold. And we've talked about this. We all know you can get a lot of cool stuff with silver and gold. But the stuff you can get with wisdom is even better. She, wisdom, the wisdom of God, is more precious than rubies. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them, wisdom and understanding, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear when something, you know, something just out of the blue comes and shocks you. Don't be scared of it. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Why? For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So that's your homework assignment this week. When you start to get a little nervous and shaky on any part of your life, just say, wait a minute, the Lord is my confidence. Not me, not this circumstance, not if I did everything perfect or said the exact right thing or somebody else did this or didn't do that or said this or didn't say that. That's not what my confidence is. My confidence is in the Lord. The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. Strong confidence. When we have great respect, great reverence for the Lord. Many times people and circumstances and organizations and even con men want to get you to worry about them or be scared of what they say or respect them. Well, it's in the reverence, the respect of the Lord, that's where there's strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear, the reverence of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So simply having great reverence for the Lord will give you very strong confidence. Let's go to Isaiah 30. Here's one we read from time to time. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Woe to those people, verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore this shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Verse 6. The burden of the beasts to the south. Let's skip ahead, actually. There's a lot of cool stuff here. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, returning to God, away from that, those people that were ignoring God, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. They didn't want to. So that's where we're going to be saved or delivered, is simply returning our thoughts to God and resting in his deliverance. That's where we're going to be saved. In quietness and simple confidence in God will be our strength. So that's another homework assignment. You find yourself being dragged off to something mentally where your brain's going, wait a minute. I'm going to return my brain to trusting God. And then I'm going to have quietness and confidence, and that will be the source of my strength. Sure, I still have to go deal with all those things everybody else is having to fight with, whether it's traffic or coworkers or bosses or problems or projects. We all have those things to deal with, but we do it in quietness and confidence, trusting God, because we bring our thoughts back to trusting God. So you see these people that have walked so far away from God. It says, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. They just wouldn't do it. And then verse 17, but you said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And you said, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign or a sign on a hill. I mean, we know of other verses that say, you know, 1,000 shall flee at thy fall at thy right, 10,000 at thy left, which won't come nigh thee, you know, one of you will, you know, scare away 1,000. Where here's the opposite. They were so walking away from God that one person goes boo and 1,000 of them flee. So we don't want to be in that case, because they'd simply turned away and wouldn't come back and put their confidence in God. We obviously want to be the ones that do put our confidence in God, so everybody flees from us instead of us fleeing from everybody else. Like the one of the smallest insects in the Bible, the wicked flee. Says that in Proverbs, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And that's what we want to be. We want to be bold, not because we're so smart or we're so cool, but God is so great. That is, and if we're cool and smart, it's because God made us that way. That's super. Isaiah 36 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria, verse 2, sent Rabshakeh. Rabshakeh was sort of his mouthpiece, his PR guy. The king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the Fuller's Field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? What gives you the right to have any confidence that you're going to be okay? And then he goes on to tell them about how, look, the king of Assyria has taken captive all these nations. We've won everywhere. We've taken all the gods and taken, you know, which were the statues they worshipped, and taken them back to Babylon, and nobody can beat us. What confidence is this? And then, of course, God gets rather angry when they challenge him, and he brings them great deliverance because the Assyrians were trying to say, you have no right to have confidence in God or to think that your city will be safe because we've conquered all the cities. We've taken all the gods captive. We're bigger. Well, the true God comes out, if you read the context, which we've read many times, he says, no, no, no. I'm bigger and stronger, and you're not going to talk to me that way. But it's a matter of what the confidence is. So you will have people try sometimes very well-meaning people, try to talk you out of having confidence in God. We can't do that. We have to let God's word speak to us and be the source of our confidence in God, no matter what anybody says. Rarely do you have the king of Assyria trying to destroy your town, but you have people often trying to get you to downgrade your confidence in God by what they say. And we just can't allow that to happen. I mean, it's okay to talk to people. It's okay to try to help people. It's okay to do what we can for them. But to let them talk us out of believing God, that's something we can never do. And there are those that will try to do that. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Don't you know we've taken captive everybody? Okay, but they didn't take captive the true God. And one of these sections here, the Assyrians wake up one morning and most of their army's dead. And then King Sennacherib goes, oh, okay. Then he goes back home to, no, it wasn't Babylon. It was Nineveh was their capital. Went back home and was murdered by his own two sons. So they talk big, but it didn't work. Having confidence in the true God is what matters. And it's really important to get that because everything else in life does change at times. But our ability to have confidence in God and have God come through for us, that's always there. And you find that. There's some things in life that are always there. There's some things that are always changing. And a great thing that's always there is being able to have confidence in God. Let's go to Acts 28. We're all very familiar with the great things the Apostle Paul did throughout the book of Acts and how he went to Jerusalem against the will of the Lord and ended up eventually under house arrest in Rome. But look, even after going through all those challenges and being imprisoned and, you know, spending a couple years in prison in Caesarea and being shipwrecked on the way to Rome and all the things that happened to him, look where he ends up, Acts 28:30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with what? All confidence, no man forbidding him. So he still had confidence that he could speak the word and minister to God's people in spite of all the problems. Because we're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to have successful years and ones that we'd just rather forget. New Year's Day will come and we'll go, hallelujah, that year's over. Got a new one. We'll have years like that. But whether you got the one of the really good years, like when Paul was out, and all Asia heard the word of the Lord in 2 years and 3 months, or a really bad year when he's in jail in Caesarea, at the end of the day, he was still speaking the word with all confidence. And so that's what we have to look at. Like I think last session we talked about every day's a new day. Every morning's a new fresh start. Well, we're coming up to a new year again where we're going to be thankful for what God's done for us this past year. But we don't want to let whatever happened in 2019, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, we don't want to let it limit us for what can happen in our lives in 2020. We need to think big and look to God and trust Him to open great doors to where not only can we move ahead personally, but we can minister and help others and we can just move ahead with our lives. We just have to have that vision. And I love this about Paul, that he did so many great things. And he, like anybody, made some mistakes. And he had some problems. And at one point, he was stoned to death. And the believers prayed, and he got up from the dead and went to the next town and kept preaching the word. So he did great things, but he had great problems. But towards the end of his life, here he is, with all confidence, speaking the word. And I don't know if there was one person, three people, or 20 in his house. Doesn't say. But whoever was there, he was speaking the word with all confidence. And that's a great thing to look at, is that we can always move ahead with God. And he did. Ephesians 3:12. Ephesians 3:12. Because, I mean, you always like to hear people. I remember, you know, gee whiz, had to be 20, 30 years ago. I remember people in the Way Ministry already turning about and looking at the good old days when the ministry started. Like, I'm going to sit here and think about how great things were in 1976 or 75. Well, that was a pretty good year. But that was then. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those which are before. Well, Paul could have just sat back and said, yeah, I did pretty well back there in Galatia, and boy, did I kick butt in Ephesus when I was there. No, he was still speaking the word with all confidence. He wasn't just sitting back and saying things were good then, but that's all over. There's always a way to move ahead with the things of God, and it may not be what we had planned. It may not be the same as it was before, but if you got a Bible and Holy Spirit, I mean, that's all you need. And then you just help whoever you can help. And if they're all excited and, you know, 1,000 people get born again and healed and raised from the dead, great. But if it's one person you're chatting with while you're taking a walk and you do one little thing with God's word to brighten our day, then that, God will bless you for that. I was listening to the scriptures on the way here in the car, and there was a great verse. He that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and then the Lord will repay him, or something like that. Just another great thing is, you don't have to do some great thing. You can do any little thing to walk in love and try to minister God's word or help somebody in any way at all, and God will bless you for it. And those things add up over time. So, but our confidence, but what a great thing. Paul just kept speaking the word with confidence. I love it. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Another popular verse we read frequently. In whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access with what? Confidence, by the faith of him. Boldness and access with confidence, or confident access. We have confident access to God. I mean, it's pretty exciting when you're working somewhere. I mean, I remember working a place where they brought in a new boss, and he was a real big shot, and he liked my work. So I had access. I could walk in his office anytime and talk about a project or ask him a question. That was pretty cool, because this was the big shot, and he'd listen to me. Other people didn't get to go talk to the big shot, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. And that is fun whenever that happens. And we all have situations where we have that access, and we have plenty of situations where we don't have that access. But we have confident access to God, and that is really cool. Mm-hmm. It's confident access. Or another translation is, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So we are confident in our daily lives that God will bless us, and we can approach God with confidence. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for our sins. We can ask in the name of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus Christ asked. You don't have to think, oh, I had a bad day, I did a dumb thing, I said a bad thing, I didn't keep my word on this and that, so God won't listen to me. Nope. He'll listen to you. You have confident access to him at any point because of what Christ accomplished for us. Philippians chapter 1. You may go Philippians through your Bible if you want. Me, I just had to turn a page. And Camille just has to scroll down a little bit. Okay, Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the servants in Christ which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Look at this, verse 6, being confident. Now, what's he confident about? Of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, the new birth, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All the way until the gathering together, and even after that. God has started working with us, and he's not going to give up on you. Now, people may give up on you. Organizations may give up on you. Groups of people may give up on you. You may give up on yourself. But God's not going to give up on you. So if God's not going to give up on me, why should I give up on me? That's sort of presumptuous on my part. For me to say I'm a no good nothing when God says I'm more than a conqueror and he's going to keep working with me all the way through the gathering together and beyond. It's sort of presumptuous for me to say I'm no good when God says, hey, I gave my son to die for you. I paid a very heavy price for your eternal life and your new birth. So you want me to waste that investment because you're having a bad day? That would be very presumptuous. You know, it'd be like if I, owned a company and maybe we were delivering stuff. This is a popular time of year to deliver things. And I bought the truck and I paid for your training and I had some people load it and sent you out to deliver it and you got halfway to the warehouse and you pulled over and says, I'm a lousy truck driver. I'm not going to do anything. Well, I trained you. I paid for the truck. I got a lot invested in all those packages. And you're feeling a little mopey today, so you don't get the job done. You have the nerve to think you're no good. Well, you're not no good. You just lost confidence and gave up on yourself. Well, it'd be the same thing in our lives if we hit a rough patch and things get tough and we gave up on ourselves. Because God has certainly not given up on us. We're going to have tough days. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have setbacks. But whenever they come, we simply need to be confident that God will bring us through. But what a great verse. Let's read that again. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, that's the new birth, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, which is after the gathering together. So we're going to get gathered together, and he's still going to be there to take care of us after we have new bodies. What a great thing. Philippians 3. I only had to flip one page. Sometimes I do that when I'm driving. I fill up the gas tank. You probably do too. Don't worry. We're almost done. You guys can survive a few more minutes. Okay, Philippians 3:3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, people that are backbiters. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For beware of the circumcision, spiritually, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So it says, I have no confidence in the flesh. We just don't trust in people or even our human abilities. We use our human abilities the best we know how, and we love people and try to work with them, but our confidence is in God. And he goes on to talk about, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, look at me. I had all the training, I had the family background, I had the experience, the track record, but it was still nothing compared to what we have in God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your biggest challenges are when everything's going great for a while and you think, boy, things are great. Everything's just the way I want it. Then you have a setback. If you're used to having setbacks every week, it's not such a shock. But beware when things are going well. Not that you want to expect problems, but they're going to pop up. And if they pop up after a period of time where you haven't had one for a long time, and then all of a sudden one hits you, wham, and the forehead, you go, oh my goodness, I thought I was perfect. I thought nothing ever went wrong. Nope, I'm fine. I mean, like think about Jehoshaphat. He had really gotten himself together, and his kingdom was doing great, and he'd had some problems, but he worked through them, and God was blessing him, and all of a sudden he got attacked by three armies at once. Now, he could have sat around all day saying, why me? Why did this happen to me? I thought I had my stuff together. I thought things were good. But then, as soon as they sort of got over the denial and wondering why things are going wrong and started praying for deliverance, then God came through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where God, where somehow the three enemy armies all killed each other. Okay. And instead of being destroyed, they just spent 3 days carrying all the riches back to town. So that's the kind of thing I try to pray for. And I'm not perfect at it by any means, but what I try to do is when things look tough, I just pray for God to somehow bring deliverance out of it. And it's amazing the stuff God can do. It's just amazing. So we're the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. If you're going to have problems in life, it's often because you forget to worship God in the Spirit. You're not rejoicing in what you have in the new birth, and you put all your confidence in people, whether it's yourself or somebody else. But when you do speak in tongues a lot, you do rejoice in what you have in the new birth, and you have absolutely no confidence in anybody. Again, not that you distrust them and hate them and it's negative, but you just realize people are going to fall short. So don't be so shocked and upset when they fall short, whether it's yourself or somebody else. Your confidence is in God. And then when somebody does come through, you rejoice. When they don't come through, you don't worry about it. You just pray for them, love them, try to help them, but you don't let it stop you because we have no confidence in the flesh. Hebrews 10. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense or repayment of reward. We don't want to give up our confidence in God because we get great rewards from that confidence. Great rewards from that confidence. It does wonders. I think you get all these things in the mail. You know, sign up now. You have a 1 in 10 gazillion chance of winning a $50 gift card. And they think that's a great reward. And it might be. And somebody's going to probably win that gift card. But we have a much better guarantee of rewards in life and victories if we just don't give up our confidence. So don't cast away your confidence. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We have to be patient to walk God's word, trust him, and then see the results. But don't cast away your confidence. It brings great rewards. Now look at this in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby know we that we're of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before us. If our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. See, we have a bad habit of thinking poorly of ourselves. And it's harder when there are people around us that think poorly of us, which happens from time to time. But if our heart does not condemn us, or if our heart does condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Why does that make sense? Well, Jesus Christ paid with his blood for us to be righteous or right with God. And so if we think we're not right with God and we condemn ourselves, we're simply not having confidence in God. You know, it'd be like if I came over here, like I am today, and Mary Rose laid out a delightful buffet like she does all the time. And I said, oh, I'm unworthy to eat that. I didn't, work hard enough. I'm not a good enough friend. I don't deserve that. then I don't have any confidence in Mary Rose's kindness as a hostess to serve me lunch. Well, in the same way, if God has done so many things for us, and we say, oh, we're no good, we're not worthy, I can't pray because God wouldn't answer me, or something like that, then we have no confidence towards God. So we can't be condemning ourselves. We can't be talking about what we goofed up. I mean, if you goofed up, sure, I goofed up, all right? But Jesus Christ gave his life for me, so that's paid for. And so what? God's still going to love me and take care of me. So if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. So the next time you start getting a little mopey and beating yourself up and condemning yourself, just remember, Jesus Christ gave his life so you wouldn't have to condemn yourself. Remember what it says in Romans, we're more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There's so many things in the scriptures. You'll run into many Christians, many other people that want you to condemn yourself, want to talk about your shortcomings and your sins and your mistakes. And those are things we have to deal with and be aware of. But what we focus on is God's deliverance from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I still go back to what I say, and I say this, and I believe it, that there's two ways to look at Christianity. You can focus on the sins of man, or on the deliverance from sin we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse is a good example of what happens if you focus on the sins of man, yours or somebody else's. You're not going to have any confidence in God, because you're going to be talking, thinking about how messed up you are. But let's look at that again. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, verse 22, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And then one more in chapter 5. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And according to his will is simply what's in the written word. He promises to supply our needs in Philippians. I ask that he supply my needs. That's according to his will. That's what he wants to do. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, the requests we desired of him. So that's the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's why we can be confident as we go through this week ahead, because we know whatever we ask, he hears us. So, I think confidence is wonderful, as long as it's in God and not having no confidence in the flesh. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful truths in your word. Thank you for these wonderful saints here present with us, and Peter on the phone, and the others that will listen to this on the website in the weeks ahead. May you bless them abundantly as they grow in confidence to trust you, to expect your blessings every day, and to see your word at work and living in their lives. Thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.